Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. It's a passage which is so familiar to us. It's so often read at times of funerals, but in it we find the promise of Jesus. And in a sense, it also links back to these other claims of Jesus, the seven sayings of Jesus. And we'll be thinking about that. So just as we read together, may God open our eyes. John 14, starting at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. Remember, it's really emphatic. It's I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. May God bless that reading to us, and may God help us to understand and to know the truth of it for ourselves. Just before we do come to look at it, let's just pause and ask that God might indeed open our eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your eternal word, for the truth of your word, the truth that indeed, no matter how confused, how sad, how hopeless we feel, that in Jesus, that we can find the hope, the certainty to live, and also the hope and certainty to face each challenge, because we know that our faith is in him, that through our faith in him, that we are brought into a relationship with you, that we have security and certainty in life. So Lord, bless us as we come to look at your word. Help us, we pray, just to hear your voice and to hear your challenge to each one of us. For we pray these things now in Christ's powerful and precious name. Amen. There are certain mysteries that we struggle to understand in this universe. The marvels of life and birth, the wonders of the universe. But the greatest puzzle, or one of the greatest puzzles in life, is how a woman cannot read a map the right way round. I know with my mother, she used to, and this was in the olden days, before GPS and before Google Maps, she would have the map, the atlas, sitting in the front seat, barking orders at my father. And she would always used to turn the map whichever way my dad turned. And my dad would turn round to say to her, "Alice, just tell me the way to go." And my mother's reply was always the same. "It doesn't matter. We'll get there in the end." You know, we may laugh, but you know, for many people within our world today, that's their attitude. That's their take on life and also eternity. If you speak to most people at a time when death is around, most people will talk about heaven, getting to heaven. Our loved ones will get to heaven. But for many people, they think that, well, all roads lead to heaven, don't they? We're all heading in the same direction. It doesn't matter how you get there, as long as we get there in the end. We live in a society which encourages this idea. For all of us, what we want is the certainty of knowing that we're right, we'll get there in the end. We want that security. But, you know, the Bible is very, very clear. Jesus makes this very bold, very categorical statement. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus who is the way. It's Jesus who is the answer that we need to know. That we need to be in a relationship with Jesus in order to have that certainty. That certainty of knowing that we're right with God. That we are in a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. There is only one way. That's what the Bible tells us. It's only through Jesus. He is the way. He is the only way to the Father. At the beginning of chapter 14, and remember the setting for this passage is that Jesus is coming to the end of his life. He's sharing with his disciples in the Last Supper. Jesus knows that he is going to the cross. That's his destiny. And Jesus tells the disciples, he knows what their greatest need is, but also, in a sense, what will be their greatest crisis in life. Their greatest need was to have certainty. And for them, having Jesus with them provided that certainty in life. But Jesus was not going to be with them. He tells his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That word, troubled, in the original Greek, means literally to agitate or trouble. It's like used in like boiling water, where it's agitating. It's sort of bubbling away. It means to cause an inward commotion. And that's a picture that we have of the disciples, that their minds were troubled, were agitated. Why? Because Jesus is coming to the point where he will be leaving them. Jesus knows their hearts need, which is that certainty. So Jesus tells them, "Well, I am going away." But he's going away to prepare a place for them. And Jesus says to them about how in his Father's house in heaven there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus gives them the certainty of knowing that death, his death, but also their death, is not uncertain. It's not that they face who knows what. They can have the certainty that in God's house, in God's place in heaven, that he has prepared for them a place for you. And if you notice, it's individual. He doesn't just say, "I'm going there to prepare a place," but it's personal. It's personal because he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. That where I am, there you may also be with me." You know, Jesus makes that statement that it's personal, that his relationship is personal, his relationship with us. If we trust in him, if our faith is in him, then it's personal. And we can have certainty because of that. We can have certainty of knowing that we can trust, because we know that Jesus is able. Our destination is certain. The way of getting there is certain, because it is in Jesus that he is the way. Yet, I suppose Thomas asks the question that none of the other disciples probably had the courage to ask, and probably what many of us feel as well. "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" For many people in our world today, that's one of their real struggles. How can I have certainty? How can I know what lies in eternity? We can have that certainty because we know that Jesus has gone ahead, that he's prepared a place for me personally, for you. We can know this certainty because Jesus is the way. The way into God's house, but the way into a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father, which is not just about when we get to heaven, that we're going to meet our Father and we'll get to know him. But Jesus is the way to the Father, a relationship with the Father here and now. Because he reconciles us to God. One of the things that the Bible is quite clear upon is that we are all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Not one of us hasn't. All of us need a Savior. All of us need to have some Savior who is able to deal with that. We're alienated from God because of our sin. We need the perfect way into his holy presence. And there, as the book of Proverbs says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. Our world seems to think that, well, the way to life is, well, having a good time, or being popular, or being rich. The way to success. The way to perhaps get into heaven, as we talked about last week, is because if we do enough good things and we impress God, well, we're guaranteed. But Jesus says, no, that's not the way. The wages of sin is death. That's what it says in Romans chapter 6. We are alienated from God. Yet in Jesus, we're told that we have a Savior who restores our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father by taking our sin upon himself. Jesus says that he who has seen me has seen the Father. If we truly see Jesus as our Savior, then we truly know the Father. The only way that we can have a right relationship with God is through forgiveness, through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Because we cannot fix, we cannot deal with the sin that is in our life. There's nothing that we can do. But the beautiful thing, the wonderful thing, is that, as Jesus says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You have seen him. And the writer to the Hebrews boldly says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That's his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's from Hebrews chapter 10. How powerful and true that is, that in Jesus we can have that confidence. We can know with truth that We stand in a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. Sorry, I'll skip that one, that's fine. The truth is that in Jesus we have that certainty of being brought into that relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. Jesus is not one way to God. He is the only way. As I said earlier in the passage, the way it's phrased is it uses what's known as the definite article, the. I am the way. He doesn't say I am a way to God. He doesn't say I am a truth or I am a life. He's very definite about saying, I am the way. In John 14, verse 6, that's the claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And, you know, that is, for some people, that's quite an offensive statement. Because it lays bare that there is only one way. There is only one Saviour. We live in a world where people say, oh, it doesn't really matter. We're all on the same path to heaven. It doesn't really matter what you believe, who you believe in. It doesn't matter if you're a Hindu, a Muslim, or whatever. But Jesus says, it does matter. It matters because He is the way, the only way. And in Acts, in the book of Acts, Paul says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the way. Because Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Jesus is the way. To know Jesus is to know the Father, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made known. It is in Jesus that we find, or we know the Father. He is the way. One of the interesting things that draws this, the importance of this to head, is we all think of us ourselves as Christians and the early church people as being Christians, but you know, people were only called Christian in Antioch was the first time. But before that, we're told that the Christian faith was called the Way. And believers were referred to as those who belonged to the Way. That's what we see in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. The Lord's disciples who belonged to the Way. That's the way that the society in Israel at the time saw the Christian faith. It was known as the Way. In other words, for it must have been the disciples had been quite clear in preaching and portraying Jesus as the Way, as the only way, and they became known as that. You know, in our world today, People believe in everything, yet they believe nothing. And for them, it's not acceptable to say, well, there's only one way to heaven. Everyone wants to think that there are many ways to God, but there isn't. So many convince themselves that as long as they're good, as long as they live the best that they can, they will earn their way to heaven when they die. The problem is that they do not realize that they are sinners, that they need a savior. They need to know the way, and they need to know the truth. Jesus says that he is the only truth, the truth to believe in absolutely. Jesus again makes that quite bold claim. I am the truth. He claims to actually be the embodiment of truth, the full and the final complete revelation of God. He hears what the Father says, and he does what the Father tells him to do. In him, the Father is revealed. You know, we're in such a desperate need in our world, in our culture, to hear the truth, to hear about Jesus. Because the voices that surround us in our society, in media, in our academic institutions, all shout that there is no such thing as objective truth when it comes to believing. It's all relative. Whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat, whatever makes you comfortable and feel fuzzy and warm. But as the Apostle Paul says, that those in the world are being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. They're blinded. They cannot see the truth. They cannot hear the truth. For them, everything is true and nothing is true. Yet truth is found in Jesus because he reveals the Father. He reveals the Father. He exposes our sin and unbelief, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's when our eyes are open to the truth, when we see in Jesus the Father, that we find salvation. Yet the world, however, men have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. People say, well, you can believe in Jesus, but I'll believe in whatever I want. And we're still heading the same place. Jesus says, no, there is only one truth, and that is God's truth. Yet men have been blinded. They've hardened their hearts, and they've exchanged the truth about God for a lie. How sad that is. How desperate it is. And it shows that we need to actually share the gospel. Share the hope and the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus tells us that the true knowledge of the Father can only be obtained through a true knowledge of him and a relationship with him. He says in verse 7, if you had known me, you would know my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. It's as we look to Jesus that we can see and know the Father. That's what it means, that he is the truth. Christ is more than just an appearance of God, or a messenger of God, or a good teacher, prophet of God. Jesus is more than that. He is God made flesh. The one whom God the Father has sent. As the Apostle Paul says in Colossians, he was the visible image of the invisible God. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, through his life. And in John 14, Jesus challenges the disciples. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Again, as we saw last week, that word believe is repeated here in this passage because it's the emphasis that it's about faith, it's about believing in who Jesus is, believing in his claims that he is the way, the truth, as we'll see in a minute, that he is the life. Jesus is the truth because of who he is, because of his relationship with God as his Father. That in him, the Father reveals himself to us. You know, in our world today, as we've said, there are so many people who are searching for the truth, something that they can ground their lives on, something that they can know, especially when times are tough. That it will bring them hope and certainty. It's only in Jesus. Jesus makes this bold claim, I am the truth. We need to believe that. And if we believe it, then we can experience the only life to give certainty for eternity. It's in Jesus that as we find in him that he is the truth, that he is the way, that we can have certainty. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at Jesus' claim to be, I am the gate or I am the door? Back in John chapter 10, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out. They will find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That life that Jesus promises is a life, as we saw a few weeks ago, that is abundant, is overflowing, is more than we can ever expect. And Jesus says, I myself, I am the life. You know, and trusting in Jesus, that's the certainty that we can have. The truth is that we can have assurance. We can have assurance because God himself has chosen us. God himself has brought us through faith in Jesus into his family. We can have certainty because we know that he is the truth. And we can have the certainty because we know that he has prepared a place for us in heaven. But not only that he has prepared a place for us in heaven, but also that even though he's going away, that he will be with us, that he will enable us to live each day. He says, in verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. You know, the assurance is that Jesus has made that promise to enable us in our lives to have certainty to face each challenge. And that because of that, that we can have certainty for eternity. Again, back in John chapter 10, when Jesus made the claim about being the good shepherd, he says, "Very truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." That's in John chapter 5, verse 24. But in John chapter 10, in the Good Shepherd, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." No one will snatch them. In other words, we have that certainty for eternity, because no one can snatch us out of God's hand. That's what we need to know, that certainty. That certainty that enables us to face each day. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The challenge that he gave the disciples is a challenge that he gives us. Don't you believe? Don't you know this is true? Do you? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know the certainty that you have a relationship with God the Father? Do you know that you have certainty that your life is based not on a lie, but in the truth? Do you have certainty of knowing that no matter what happens in your life, that you are secure, that no one, nothing can snatch you from God's loving care? Do you have the certainty of knowing that in eternity you will be with him forever? That in eternity we will be united with those who have loved the Lord, have served the Lord, those who have gone before us. We have that certainty because of who Jesus is, because of that claim, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." May you indeed know that truth in your life. Amen. We're going to just respond to that in singing our final hymn, which is "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear."